Hi, this is AM 580 Agriculture Director Dave Dickey. AM 580 Agriculture Now podcasts the opening and closing market reports every business day and our flagship show, Commodity Week, every Friday. Have our agricultural analysis delivered daily to your computer by heading over to our website, will.uiuc.edu/am/agriculture. There you will find the XML addresses you need to paste into the subscription window of your podcast software. If you need help, drop us an email at ag@will.uiuc.edu.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's January the 9th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Well, in agricultural news, the WTO negotiations continue. The deal makers will be back in Geneva at the end of this month. The president's visit to the Chicago Board of Trade prompted him to comment on the world of commodity markets last Friday, and the American Farm Bureau Federation has a new idea for how producers should collect government subsidies. We'll have details of these stories later this half hour. The Corn and Soybean Classic Series kicks off in Bloomington tomorrow at the Interstate Center. I'll travel with the University of Illinois Crop Production and Economics Specialist from here on campus to six sites around the state over the next 2 weeks, hosting these day-long events. It costs just $50 to attend if you haven't already pre-registered, and walk-ins are welcome. Registration starts at 8:15 each day. This week, we're in Bloomington, Malta in Northern Illinois at Kishwaukee College on Wednesday, and on Thursday at the Mark in Moline. I hope to see you on the road. Of course, this program will continue with Dave Dickey at the helm right here on AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: Daly Farms Incorporated, Arthur; First National Bank and Trust Company, Clinton; and GCOM Incorporated, Savoy. These business partners join the friends of WILL in making great programs possible. Thank you.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The March wheat down 8.25 today. 370.5 the final price for the day. The March futures in that was Kansas City in Chicago at 326.5 for the March. They were off 4.25. And the May futures down 3.75 today at $3.37. From the corn pit off 3.25 today, 211 the final price. May futures down 3 at 220.5. And July contract in the corn pit, 229 down 2.75. December corn futures, 245.75 off 2.5 cents for the day. January soybeans, 584 off 16.5. The March contract at 594 were down 17, and the May soybeans down 18 cents today. They finished at 603. November contract in the bean pen off 14 cents, 619.5, the settlement price on this Monday afternoon. January bean meal, 183.30, down 360. January bean oil off 55 at 22.20 from the Mercantile Exchange. Now, feeder cattle January contract, 114.52.5. They were up 2.5 cents. February live cattle at 96.47.5, up 42.5. And the lean hog settled the February contract at $64.67.5 a hundredweight. They were up 20 cents for the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Hi, Kurt. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tough day at the Board of Trade, down 16.5 cents in the bean pit, and follow through in the corn pit, down 3.75 for the March, December, off 2.5. What happened? Just follow through from last week?
Well, follow through from last week. We did post a weekly price reversal to the downside, and we did see some bearish trend divergences in the stochastic and the momentum indicators indicating the market was due for some type of correction. But then, too, fundamentally, gave up a little bit of confidence on the bull side due to the fact that the Argentina and Brazil's both in a position to receive better rains prospects here as we go into mid to late part of this week. The forecast continues to sort of flip-flop back and forth, but this is their best chance they've had in some time, and the ideas are we could get more into a more normal type of precipitation pattern in the southern hemisphere. So that sort of takes off the bullish drought edge there in the southern hemisphere. Then also, too, we're looking at the numbers Thursday morning. Ideas are that we can maybe see a slight increase in production numbers, and also we could come in here and see an increase in the carryout due to that, along with lower export projections. So it's a combination of things where we've suffered some technical damage, and we see them pick up in the negative fundamental news. Where we go from here, today's lows is sort of some key moving average points, depending on which one you're a fan of. The 40, 50-day, even the 100-day, and some of the commodities come in near today's area, so it's going to be critical for the market to try to sort of make a stand here going into Thursday's numbers.
And you're rather hoping for a turnaround Tuesday, I suspect, then.
Well, hopefully that will be the case. As we all well know, when the market goes down, you never have enough sold. When the market goes up, you've got too much sold. So realization sort of sank in here that maybe we didn't get quite enough sold here. So we are in hopes that we have some bounces in here, which we should get caught up on some sales.
Given what's happening in South America with the crop and the recent whipsaw action that we've seen here, is it likely, I suppose, before we get to Thursday, that the market, especially for the beans, will continue to drop? Has it gone low enough at this point to stabilize before that Thursday report? Or is the market still just simply going to look at it and say, well, we've got a large crop in South America, it looks to be in good condition, and frankly, we still have an awfully big crop in the U.S. that's in the bin for beans?
Well, long term, I think that's going to be the dominant factor. I mean, the long term fundamentals will dominate. Short term in here, I would believe corn's probably got another 5 cents to the downside and beans another dime to the downside before we actually find some solid footing. On the other hand here, if we can get a turnaround Tuesday or some type of bounce, I think 213 in the March corn, about two higher from when we closed. And look at these March beans back up to that 605 area. Might be the best we do ahead of the report there, Todd.
And are you telling producers who are calling you today that they just missed the boat and to hang on and see what happens before they make more cash sales for either corn or soybeans, or to go ahead and dump?
It varies. It depends where a guy's at. If a guy's pretty well caught up wanting to do a small increment, the recommendation was sort of sit tight here and see what unfolds. If a guy hasn't sold any beans, and there's a few out there that, there are some suggestions to sell some ahead of the opening there. But it just depends where a guy's at. I'm not wanting to panic and sell inventory that we're down to where we want to be. But if a guy's behind the eight ball here and hasn't made a whole lot of sales, I think we need to be playing catch up here fairly quickly. My fear is that we could get caught in a seasonal downdraft going into first part of February, and all of a sudden guy gives up, then we get that good old-fashioned spring rally that we oftentimes get going in the first part of March.
Speaking of that, if you've got sales made and you have not covered them yet, where are you going to buy these back?
From I need to clarify that. As an option trader, I would use today's quotes on a little lower. We've taken a little umph out of the marketplace. I don't know if the call options are going to get much cheaper unless we drop off substantial in the board due to the fact we have a USDA report on Thursday, and oftentimes what we see is everybody and his brother buys puts and calls ahead of the report because of the unknown and sort of hedges their bets. So, if you want to buy some call options, I would suggest maybe using today's price to shave off a penny or two and use that as a benchmark ahead of Thursday's numbers.
Tell me about the mercantile exchange for the day.
A little higher. The Merck continues to defy the law of gravity. Probably the biggest news in the cattle put, there was just huge volume between the April and February spreads, by an April sell in the Febs, as the golden roll takes place here. There was anywhere from 8,000 to 10,000 contracts that took place during the day. So that's where most of the action was. We are looking at steadied, slightly higher cash cattle prices this week. These February's here at 96 cents. That still projects some optimism with last week's 94.5 cent trade. We'll monitor it as we go on in through here. Hog futures rebounding here, technically oversold, but once again, the Goldman roll, about 4,000 contracts were done late in the day between buying and selling the February futures, a total of about 6,000 contracts were estimated to be done on the day. So we continue to question the strength on the whole meat complex with this warmer weather. There's ideas we could add extra tonnage to the meats. We'll have to monitor these cold storage reports as we go on through from here, Todd.
Anything to add from the outside markets before I let you go?
Boy, that gold just keeps chucking on higher. It's
yeah,
just unbelievable how strong the metals market is. It's extremely overbought there. The February gold futures did trade $551 today.
All right. We thank you much for joining us.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens on Monday afternoons.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
At the bottom of the hour, a meteorologist from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago will join us for a look at the agricultural weather. AM 580's Mike Sola forecast for this evening across the two-state region calls for in the northern and central sections partly cloudy skies. In the south, it'll be mostly cloudy. Lows, he says, from 18 in northwestern Illinois to 34 in far southern Illinois. Tomorrow, Mike says, in the south, mostly cloudy skies, a chance for showers. Some light rain elsewhere, partly sunny. Highs tomorrow will range from 40 in the north to around 50 in southeastern Indiana. Should make for a good day to come to the Corn and Soybean Classics at the Interstate Center in Bloomington. That kicks off at 8:15. Now here's Dave with the news.
In agricultural news, major trade powers, including the U.S., will be in Switzerland on January 27th and 28th in an attempt to break the agricultural gridlock of the Doha Round of World Trade Talks. The hope is that participants will be able to agree on the modalities that will determine the outcome of the talks, specifically formulas and figures for reducing tariffs on agricultural and industrial goods and slashing farm subsidies. President Bush addressed the Chicago Economic Club on Friday, where he made a plea for world free trade.
I'm telling you, it's in the farmers' interests that we're selling soybeans in China. It's in our interest that we have a free trading world. If we wall ourselves off from the rest of the world, a bunch of other folks are going to take advantage of the opportunity of free trade.
Meanwhile, a American Farm Bureau Federation task force says the U.S. should change individual commodity-based farm subsidies into a single WTO legal farm program that would provide money to all producers in times of low incomes, but only if other countries reduce tariffs. The conclusions are part of a report being presented this week to the Farm Bureau membership at its annual convention in Nashville. A Taiwanese scientific panel charged with reviewing the safety of U.S. beef is expected to meet sometime in the next 2 weeks to decide whether trade should resume. A decision by the panel that U.S. beef is safe would be reported to Taiwan's health ministry, paving the way for the country's ban on U.S. beef to be eased. Meanwhile, South Korea and U.S. officials are holding meetings today and tomorrow to work out details to end Korea's 2-year ban on U.S. beef. And CGC Japan Company, a cooperative buying organization for supermarkets in Japan, will begin full-scale sales of U.S. beef beginning on January 16th. The co-op will start off by supplying 25 supermarkets nationwide. A USDA economist says the upcoming 2007 U.S. Farm Bill is likely to squeeze cotton due to pressures from the federal budget and World Trade Organization regulations. Carol Skelly is with USDA's World Agricultural Outlook Board. Skelly says when intense discussions among lawmakers over the 2007 Farm Bill intensify later this year, individual benefit categories will be scrutinized for their consistency with WTO rules, and that could mean even more constraints for cotton producers. The Beltway Cotton Conference wrapped up last Friday, and as Stuart Doan reports, profitability in 2006 will largely be decided on factors outside producer control.
National Cotton Council Chief Economist Gary Adams told Beltwide attendees that U.S.-grown fiber is competing in an ultra-competitive world market.
Our success depends on a number of factors that are external and well beyond our control. A weak dollar, strong foreign economic growth, and more open markets would boost exports and prices. Weather problems outside the United States wouldn't hurt either when we look at the potential to sell into those markets.
The U.S. is on pace to export about 70% of its 2005 cotton harvest. China bought 5 million bales in the first 5 months of this marketing year, and according to Adams, is likely to buy 2 to 3 million more by the end of July. At the Beltwide, Stuart Doan, San Antonio.
And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILO radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Well, the performance of corn hybrids in the face of last season's severe drought in parts of the Midwest has some people wondering how the plant survives so well. Up next, an agronomist from the state of Illinois explains his theory. The unusual part of the drought in Illinois this past year was the impact the hurricanes had mid-season. July and August, normally dry months anyway, followed on the heels of a very dry May and June, says University of Illinois Extension agronomist Emerson Nafziger.
Normally we would think that would spell disaster for the crops, and we're here to talk about why it didn't.
Nafziger speculates, but has no real proof, that the corn plant can, under certain circumstances, suspend its growth and wait out the rain. It doesn't hurt, he says, that corn breeders have done a great job of developing the plants since the last big drought back in 1988. That year, the average Illinois corn yield was 72 bushels to the acre. This year, Illinois managed a 145 average.
Corn hybrids are more tolerant of dryness. There's no doubt about that. I don't know that it was set out purposely to make them drought-proof. And certainly they're not that, but the selection for yield in corn hybrids has been under high populations. And high populations are a really good way to put stress on corn plants, and that's where the selection's been done. So much as we would expect, they come through when it's drier, and problems like silt delays and barrenness are selected heavily against in modern breeding programs. So the breeders did give us a great deal of this advantage we had when it got as dry as it did. But what about these areas that basically got no rain?
How is it, asked Nafziger, that these areas managed to harvest a crop at all? He says in 1988, just a few people speculated the corn plant could suspend, or at least slow its development. In 2005, that may have happened. He points to the USDA crop progress reports as some evidence. The reports, produced weekly, estimate how far along corn is in its development and show the percentage of the crop that is silking, tasseling, and then once fertilization has occurred, the kernel development. That's where Nafziger sees the suspension take place. He maintains the number of kernels entering the dough stage, as reported by USDA, slowed.
And what we're seeing here, compared to 2004, we're seeing this line pushed way over to the right. In other words, the development of the kernels was delayed. And I think it goes back to the delay in the start of the development of the kernels. There is no reason this should have happened from a growing degree day standpoint. And growing degree days are supposed to predict these development events. And in this case, they simply did not. I think we had slippage of 200 to 300 growing degree days that didn't get used in plant development as the plant sat there without any water.
That's Nafziger's hypothesis, and he says he's sticking with it. It is not, he admits, something for farmers to count on. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL AM 580. We're joined now by the folks at the Andersons in Champaign County to take a look at what's been happening in the cash grain market. Wyatt Muse on the line with us. Hi, Wyatt. Good afternoon to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about this sell-off in the grain pits today and what farmers have been asking you most often.
Well, part of the sell-off has been due to some rain in South America and also improved chances over the next couple weeks. That combined with some increased fund activity has really caused a little bit bigger swings in the market than we've been used to seeing over the past month or so. Mm. And most farmers are asking why it's going down and are getting about the response that I just gave you. Not seeing a lot of selling on this downside as much as we saw on the upside right at the end of the year.
As we get those higher prices last week, did you have much cash grain movement there at the Andersons?
Yeah, actually we did have a fair amount of cash grain. You know, once we got in the 620 range on the soybeans especially, it's a good time to be pricing some old crop and stopping storage charges on it. And then after we got over 210 or so on the corn, people looked at the big picture and said, okay, I'm paying storage on this, and took my 45-cent LDP in the fall. It puts you over 250 out of your corn, so I don't think that's too bad of a spot to sell at. And a lot of people were putting that behind them and starting to look at next year.
That was my next question. Did they make next year's new crop sales yet, too?
A few. With the December futures breaking through 250 last week, we saw a little bit come out, but I think some people are waiting for a little bit higher price levels.
Expectations for this Thursday's crop production and quarterly grain stocks reports?
I don't know that there will be a whole lot of changes. We'll have to see what will come out with that, but I don't foresee a whole lot of changes in that.
And tell me about the basis and how it may react this evening to today's drop.
I don't think that our basis is going to be changing any. We're hanging strong at 7 under the March on our corn and 12 under the March on our beans.
And speaking of that, give me your bids for the day, please.
Cash corn is going to be 204, fall corn 230. Our cash beans are 582 and fall beans 603.
We appreciate you being with us.
Yep, thank you.
Thanks much. And that is Wyatt Muse with the Andersons. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Monday afternoon. Somebody from the Andersons does anyway. In just about 2 minutes, we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy about the agricultural weather. As you know, we are interrupted on our live air signal today on WILL AM 580. But, of course, we're coming to you on the website, just as we usually do, right here on our live stream. If you're listening to this in an MP3 or a real audio format after the fact, you can do this during the day as well. Just hit the live stream, which is up closer to the top of our homepage.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agriculture Director Dave Dickey. AM 580 Agriculture Now podcasts the opening and closing market reports every business day and our flagship show, Commodity Week, every Friday. Have our agricultural analysis delivered daily to your computer by heading over to our website, WILL.UIUC.EDU/AM/agriculture. There you will find the XML addresses you need to paste into the subscription window of your podcast software. If you need help, drop us an email at ag@WILL.UIUC.EDU.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now to take a look at the agricultural weather is Mr. Bad to the Bone himself, Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy. Hi, Mark.
How are you doing there, Todd?
I'm very well. Hey, I see that by our listing for the March 7th All-Day Ag Outlook, the WILL puts on at the Beef House, that you will be joining us.
Yeah, I will be there and all ready to discuss the exciting weather events, not only here across North America, but also what's going on down south across South America as well as other spots around the world. So looking forward to it and hope everyone can make it.
Oh, I bet we'll be surprised by the size of the crowd. I'm hoping that it will be very large. Tell me about South America, speaking of that continent.
Well, you really have two issues right now across South America. Number one is the issue of heat, which has been very impressive over the past few days across parts of southern Brazil and Argentina. For Argentina, obviously, you've been on the dry mode here for several weeks here. And with the heat that we saw, it's very impressive with highs getting up to 105, 106, 107 Fahrenheit, which even for Argentina standards is pretty extreme. And as a result, we are seeing very high crop stress at this stage of the game, which for any pollinating corn, certainly that is taking some yield away. However, that brings us to the second issue, which is a change of the current pattern, which we are seeing the region, especially Argentina, turn very unsettled this week. That has already begun to take place as we've seen thunderstorms develop across Buenos Aires over the weekend, but now across other parts of southern Argentina during the past few hours, and this will continue off and on through the week. And then, in fact, that is expected to push north into southern Brazil as we go into the upcoming weekend and on into early next week. So we kind of have two issues. One is the high crop stress, but then number two is really the easing of the crop stress and actually improvement conditions with this turn to a much more active pattern.
I have not seen and do not know what the condition of the crop is at the moment in terms of how far along it is in its development for corn in Argentina. But we'll take a look at that unless you happen to have those numbers in front of you somewhere.
Yeah, no specific numbers, but we've heard reports at least last week that you are seeing some corn in the midst of silking and pollinating, especially down south, kind of in that La Pampa region as well as some other areas of Cordoba and Buenos Aires.
Turn your attention here to the Midwest. Tell me about the weather over the next week.
Well, we continue to be very mild, which has been the trend now since the final week to 10 days of December, with really no sign of at least any cold as we go through this week. Also, we will remain generally on the dry side here across much of the Midwest, with any precip really confined to the far southern areas. But we do think, at least from a longer-term standpoint, that things will begin to change around kind of towards the end of January with the final week or so of January. That's our next window of the Midwest here turning cold again.
Mark, we'll talk to you in a week and see you on March the 7th.
All right, Todd. Take care.
Mark Caruso is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Monday afternoons. And that is today's report. Remember to join Dave Dickey tomorrow at 8:49 for our pre-opening market report. And remember, you can hear today's futures analysis, the cash grain report, the weather right there on the website. You're on it already, most likely. Go to WILL.UIUC.edu. Just click on AM and then agriculture all week long, as far as we can tell. Our on-air signal will not be broadcasting the agricultural programming. That in favor of the Samuel Alito Supreme Court nominee hearings that are taking place in Washington, D.C. The ag programming, though, will be available here on our website and on the live stream. Be sure to tune in. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great evening.